The text is the gospel reading from St. John chapter 1, reading from the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Here ends our text. People have so many emotions on Christmas Eve that it's hard to focus on the true wonder of these holy things. Today we're more settled. Today we can clear up the misconceptions we might have about the conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The first misconception is that today is Jesus' birthday. Now, before you get your feelings hurt because you explain Christmas to children by saying it's Jesus' birthday, let me finish. I've said that before to kids as well. But we need to be careful, because you can get the wrong idea from it. Already in the 3rd century, a church father warned about commemorating December 25th as if we were celebrating the birthday of a pharaoh. It is a misconception to think of today as Jesus' birthday if we think Jesus was not in the world before today. John the Baptist says, "He who comes after me was before me." Jesus testifies, "Before Abraham was, I am." Saying not only did he exist before Abraham, but he is the great I am who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. St. John goes to creation's beginning when he says, "In the beginning was the Word." And Jesus calls himself the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation, the beginning and the end. He always was, and he always will be. Christmas is the celebration of that eternal second person of the Trinity descending into the womb of the Virgin Mary and wrapping himself in flesh and blood. The one who flooded the earth with water in Noah's day floated in a woman's bag of waters. The one who shook Mount Sinai with thunder shook every time his mother did. The one who made man by hand was carried in human hands. Christmas celebrates the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The eternal God stepping into our time and our space. The invisible God becoming visible. The untouchable God being touched by sinners. The unknowable God being known by feeble human minds. The unapproachable God making himself approachable. God who is blinding light can be looked on at last. God who dwells in a consuming fire can be handled by burnable humans on Christmas Day. Christmas frees us from wondering what God is like. Christmas frees us from speculating on what God will or won't do. Christmas frees us from being enslaved to a faceless deity in the heavens. Do you wonder what God looks like? Do you want to know more about God? Do you have questions about the Holy Trinity, the only place to go, the only one to go to is the one in the manger. But that seems too easy to you. That seems too simple to you. That seems almost childish. I mean, kids saying, Jesus loves me. Kids saying, I am Jesus' little lamb. Adults, well, we sing about God. Kids deal with Jesus. Adults, they deal with God. You're close to a very serious misconception about this conception. You'll find it by asking people the simple question, is Jesus God? Some will respond, he's the Son of God, emphasizing that word son. If you push them, you will find that they make this great big distinction between God and the Son of God. God, well, that's the big one. Jesus, the Son, is below him. Jesus is God in a lesser sense. Well, you're not going to find that in Lutheran theology. Listen to Luther. Apart from Christ, there is no God. Apart from Christ, there is simply no God or Godhead at all. Apart from this man, there is no God. And I have no God, this is Luther, whether in heaven or earth, and I know of none outside the flesh that lies in the bosom of the Virgin Mary. For elsewhere, God is utterly incomprehensible, but comprehensible in the flesh of Christ alone. Now, this Lutheran view is the view of the ancient church. The Nicene Creed, accepted by all Christianity, confesses this. It says, Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father. The Athanasian Creed, also accepted by all Christianity, confesses the same, saying, and in this Trinity, none is before or after the other, none is greater or less than another. The Bible clearly confesses the truth, that all of God can only be known by us in Jesus. It says in Colossians that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. That means you don't have to go anywhere else to find God other than Jesus. And John 1:18 tells you, you can't go anywhere else. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God has literally done exegesis on him. Now, exegesis is what I do. Most of you can't read Greek. I could give you a Greek Bible and you'd have no idea what it says. You need me to put those Greek words into English. Likewise, Jesus puts into human terms, into flesh and blood, all the fullness of the Godhead. We would have no idea who God is, what he does, or why he does it, if not for Jesus. That's why Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. It's a serious misconception to place the Son of God below God the Father. To avoid this, it's helpful to speak not of the Son of God, but of God the Son. This reminds us that when we speak of Jesus as the Son of God, we're not referring to his birth on Christmas. Jesus is God the Son from all eternity. There never has been a time when God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost did not exist. And always this Godhead has made itself known only through the Son. Now these things are not merely scholarly minutiae. They're the very essence of the true faith. Realizing that Christmas is not the birth of the Son of God, but the revelation of God in flesh and blood frees you. Frees you from doing your religious thinking from above. And that's what most of you do. You try to climb up into heaven with your reason and your thoughts. You try to know what God in heaven knows. Questions occur in your life and you climb up to heaven with them seeking answers from God. Christmas frees you from the useless, dangerous exercise. Let me illustrate. Scientists are interested in Jupiter, you know. They point telescopes at it. They send probes to it. And one day, they're going to risk men's life just to find out about it. What if one day a piece of Jupiter fell right into NASA headquarters? But you don't get the wonder of God the Son becoming man until you picture all of the planet Jupiter plopping down in the midst of NASA. But you're going to say, that's impossible. Jupiter is too big to land on Earth. Well, now do you see what a miracle Christmas is? Once Jupiter landed on Earth, scientists would crawl all over it. They would handle it. They would touch it. They would taste it. At last, they would really know Jupiter. So God can only be known in Jesus. St. John says in the first epistle that in Jesus they heard God speak with their ears, they saw God with their own eyes, and their own hands handled him. And of course, they tasted him too. The disciples were the first to eat and drink the body and blood of God in the Lord's Supper. Christmas frees you. It frees you from trying to climb into heaven by reason, by feelings, or even by some sort of leap of faith. God plopped himself into your lap today, but that can bother you if you're laboring under the serious misconception that Christmas is law. It's not. Christmas is gospel. There's not one drop of law in God the Son stepping into our flesh and blood. But people put the law here. They picture Jesus as a new lawgiver. He came to tell us to repent. He came to tell us to change our ways. He came to tell us to believe in him. His coming means we have to do something now. The ball now is in our court. He's waiting on us now. These are serious misconceptions about this conception. John says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If you're looking for laws, if you're looking for what you have to do, go someplace else other than the manger. But that disappoints some of you. You want your life to change. You want to be different. You want to be a better Christian. Jesus, as Moses does, could tell you how to change. He could say to you, do this, do that. But there would always be an if, like there is with Moses. Jesus would have to say, like Moses does, if you do this and you do that, you will change. If you do this and do that, you'll be different. If you do this and do that, you'll be a better Christian. Well, if that's the message of God in the manger, then God might as well have stayed in heaven. We already know that if we did this or did that, things would be better, different, changed, but we can't do it. So God came down in Christmas and said, it's done. That's why the angel could come to those shepherds and say, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now think about that. These shepherds were sinners. Some of them drank or ate too much at times. Some of them had lustful thoughts. One or two of them were probably divorced or shacking up. One of them could have been a homosexual. Now, even if you disagree with my view of the shepherd, you must agree that among all people that the angel says the joy is for, there had to be some terrible sinners. Yet the good tidings, which is King James for the word gospel, the good tidings, the gospel, is a great joy to all people, bar none. Jesus did not come into the flesh to burden you with more laws. You can't do the laws Moses gave to you, so what good would it do to give you more laws? No, Jesus came to declare to all people, it is finished. That means we can say to anyone what the angels did to the shepherds. We can say, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Jesus Christ has come to keep all those laws that you've broken and pray for your breaking them too. But don't people have to stop lusting, to stop divorcing, and stop shacking up first? Well, is that what the angel said? No, he proclaims the glad tidings, the gospel. Changes in life follow the gospel. They don't precede it. Don't confuse the results of the gospel with the gospel itself. Don't focus on the changes Christmas creates. Focus on Christmas. Focus on Christ, and the changes will be created. There's not one word of law in Christmas. God is on the scene in flesh and blood to carry your sins away. I don't want to hear any of this. I got to do that. I have to do this today. I don't want to see you rooting through what a terrible person you are, how much you doubt, how weak you are. Who cares? Did the angel come to those shepherds and say, I bring you the gospel of great joy if you're not that bad, if you don't have too many doubts, if you have strong faith? No, he didn't. So don't you get it? It is a most serious misconception to think of today as the day God comes on the scene saying, repent of this, do that, or even believe this. No, today's the day God steps out of the womb, revealing himself in our flesh and blood, and says, here, let me do that for you. Amen. We continue now with the offering.